Okay, beautiful people, welcome to episode 46. Yeah, we're surprised too, of Off Color Cast. This is a segmented EDH podcast that loves to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome. I feel like I haven't messed that part up in a long time.
Yeah.
It hasn't been the serious, the aggressive, and the fuck of... All right, well, I forgot to hear that. Of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris. I play this game, and I'm a butthole. I've got two guest hosts for you this week. First one, right up, you know, he was available every time I need him. It's that boy, Cassidy. He writes at the TCG Player and whatnot. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hello, everyone. This is Cassidy. Like you said, I write over at tcgplayer.com. You know, probably the next couple months are going to be filled just talking about the Dragon's Maids. Did I say mage? Did that sound like mage?
I sort of did, but I figured you meant maze.
Yeah, it's so Dragon's Maze. And Dragon's... and then... so, yeah, that's going to be fun to look forward to. I'm at Right or Wrong on Twitter. And, yep, that's it.
Okay, and on short notice, our other guest host, we are able to find him in a dumpster or something. We got our boy Calvin, a.k.a. Captain Red Zone around the internet. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hey, everybody. It's Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on the internet. The guy who happens to play Red a lot in a lot of different aggressive decks. And let's see here. This past weekend, I went to the pre-release, but, you know, yeah, nothing really good to talk about there. Yeah. No one cares about that.
I didn't go to no damn pre-release. Look at you. Freaking Rockefeller over here.
I wanted to. What guild did you play, Calvin?
The first, I played Azorius.
Who's your secret guild? Is it?
It ended up being Simic.
Ah, gross.
And then I played Boros, and my secret guild ended up being Is It.
America.
Like, is it just, like, I can imagine the people who got, like, the Dimir secret guild pack, and it's like, well, this was a fun time.
Yeah, I actually saw that several times. when I did the Azorius thing, because the only reason I went Azorius first is because Boros was sold out when I got there. And when I went Azorius for the first guild, it was like four people in Azorius. No, it was five. And two of them had Dimir. I had Simic, and another one had something else. But the two that had Dimir, once they opened their packs, they just looked at it and it's like, well, looks like I'm just going to try to make something else.
Five packs. Did the secret guild at least? Was it always sure to share a color with your main guild?
It was sure to share a color, but it was all random. It's a random guild that shared your color from the other set.
I would just make sure. I wouldn't even want to play anything with blue in it, with the risk that I get Dimir then.
Yeah, Simic is a lot better than Dimir.
Slightly.
Yeah.
How you like your eggs? Fried or fertilized? The way you move your hips, girl, make me hypnotized. How you like your eggs? Fried or fertilized? 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 The way you move your hips, girl, make me hypnotized.
It was early morning, about 9 o'clock. Had a freak last night, made a body rock.
Alright, I guess we'll get started here. What do we... Oh, hey kids, what did we call this? Night of Champions?
Yeah,
okay, cool. We're continuing our Night of Champions. We have six more guilds to do, so we're just gonna get started. And by we, I mean, Calvin, why don't you get us started?
At this point, wouldn't it be Knights of Champion? Or Knights of Champions?
Knights of Champions.
Okay. Alright, so let's see here. We went over Exava, right? And we've also done Boros.
Yeah.
We did Rockdar last time.
Yeah, oh, that's the one you guys made us do. I'm like, let's be done, and you're like, nope.
Yeah. Who was the other one that we did?
We did four.
Taysa,
okay.
Taysa.
We were
talking about her big old butt.
Yeah. I'm glad we did Rurikthar though, because now we can knock all six of them out today, and I have to drag it out. So.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So if we're going, well, since I went Azorius last time, let's kick this off with Azorius again with Lavinia the 10th, and the other one was Asperia.
Yeah, it's Asperia.
Because the other guy the one that did like all the restriction shit was the other one?
Yeah,
Grand Arbiter.
So, let's see here. So, if we're going to be doing this, let's talk about these guys here. We're going to be going with Lavinia first, and Lavinia is a human soldier. She is a three colorless, white and a blue, 4/4. And she has protection from red, gross. And when Lavinia enters the battlefield, detain each non-land permanent your opponents control with converted mana cost of 4 or less. And Isperia, hold on a second. Let me get this girl up here. Isperia is the inscrutable. The inscrutable.
Luis, have the fun on that.
The unscrubbable. She's built it. Isperia the inscrutable is a colorless, double white, double blue, legendary sphinx. She has flying, and when Isperia the Unscrutable does combat damage to a player, name a card. That player reveals his hand, and if he or she reveals the named card, search your library for a creature with flying, reveal it and put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. And she's a 3/6. So with Isperia, basically, she's a, if I can tag somebody and name a card from your hand, I can look for flyers. That's basically all she really, like, that's what she, like, that's mainly what her ability is, right?
Yeah, basically. She's kind of like the, she's the Cobblade dot deck, basically. That's when I always hear is, like, flying creatures and blades and stuff, so.
So, I could easily see that being used. I've never even read the original one. I was like, I have a copy, and I just looked at it, and I was like, I'm not playing those colors, and that was back then. Like, and I just kind of moved on. Now I actually have an Isperia deck with the new set. I haven't even looked at the original. Let's see here. Well, up in a regular battle, they don't kill each other. Isperia kind of has the advantage due to the fact that she has flying. So, you know, she always kind of guarantees to get in there. But it looks almost impossible for Isperia to kill anybody with general damage without equipment of some sort. Lavinia, on the other hand, at least when she comes down, she can basically tap down, detain everything. Except for land. So she can detain like everything that's 4 or less. So she can take down planeswalkers, artifacts, enchantments, creatures. And it's opponents. So once you play her, like, there will be no combat damage until it comes back to you at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Like, you're like in a multiplayer game because, like, all stuff, everybody thinks so. Unless the other three players in your group or whatever at the table have something bigger than 4, nothing's coming down or doing anything.
And that ability,
you basically get like,
like that ability just keeps going even if you kill her, right? I'm gonna guess.
Well, the thing is with detain, what ends up happening is it's until your next turn.
Yeah. So the detain is based off of all the other stuff. It's not something that's static on her.
No, it's not so static on her. Like,
yeah. Okay. Cool.
Like, yeah, once you play her, she hits the table and then someone decides they want to O-ring her, it doesn't matter. She's still, everything else that was detained is still detained.
I heard her plus Deadeye Navigator is good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Fuck you, tokens.
Fuck you, tokens.
Fuck you, Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Yeah.
Huh. That's actually kind of fucked up, seeing as how she's actually in blue, and she's like one of the cards that you could kind of expect to be next to him.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love her, is that she shuts down Jace and Darksteeling, getting Cole Rush and Relic and shit.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the super tryhards will be like, well, you better be bouncing her every turn, because she doesn't do enough just casting her once. But I don't know. I'd feel kind of douchey if I was chaining her over and over again.
Yeah.
Unless it's late enough in the game. Well, I guess anybody with green is probably further ahead than you are if you're running blue-white, unless you got some sweet rocks. So theoretically, they might have something better than a 4-drop out there that can just, you know, not care.
Mm-hmm. But blue-white has so much control that, like, there's almost no point in like, linking her and making her activate over and over again, because... Yeah. You're blue-white. This is the color for...
Yeah, you know? Unless you've... I mean, the ability to shut off other people's mana rocks is really, really nice.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
Combined it with something that, like, reduced the converted mana cost of other creatures.
I don't think that's how... I don't think that would work. Would it? Because that's only the cast. That usually doesn't lower their CMC. It just makes it cheaper to cast.
Yeah, it just affects it when you're casting. It's not
just when you're casting.
Yeah, I think Trinisphere is the only thing that really changes, like, a CMC, and that actually raises it to 3. Yeah. So that doesn't really do too much. I agree that I wouldn't want to put, like, putting a Deadeye Navigator in Lavinia is just, it's just whole bullshit. Like, that's such, I mean, that's so pointless. If you're going to play that deck, just play Grand Arbiter, because you're just going to make it so other people can't do anything. I really like her because she's a soldier. That's my thing. Like, this is the first blue-white deck where you could make, like, a soldier theme deck. And that's pretty much what I want to use her as. And she looks so badass in that picture, too. She's got to be the first blue-white general where you're like, oh, she's actually pretty cool, you know what I mean? And now, just because we haven't talked about Spiria much, I mentioned a little bit that basically people make Cobblade decks. You know, it's basically what the deck is. She hits, you search for a flying creature, you put a sword on it, and any flying creature will do, basically.
Yeah,
and I think that's actually a pretty valid way to play blue-white. I think that's kind of fun. I think the most main reason I don't care anymore is because I played Cobblade. I played against Cobblade, so it's kind of like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, swords and flying creatures, I'm not really impressed anymore, you know? Yeah. But, I mean, she's good if you want to play it. I mean, the old Asperia is really cool and probably one of the coolest blue-white generals just because she's got flavor to her. She kind of, like, guides you how to do it, you know?
So. Yeah, Glasses of Verza is something you conceivably play in the deck.
Yeah, Asperia actually would be pretty good for a general for, like, one of those tower decks like I was discussing about last week. Or not last week, but the week before. Or last time we recorded before. This
all the flying walls.
Yeah, but, you know, you put her there. She's looking for flyers. You're looking, and she's your commander, so she's connecting. And if your deck has walls and stuff like that, you can put a bunch of downs there. And as long as she can connect, you can always find the extra creatures to be able to, you know, do the whole flying part of it.
Brosu had a pretty decent Asperia deck, but I forget what it ran.
And also with the 6 defense, she actually makes a pretty decent wall herself if she chose to just sit back and block.
Yeah, and like you have the added flexibility of like, you know, it's rare in a game where there's not going to be one dude that you can't hit. And if enough people are running, like, and they probably will be, people who aren't in black that are still running tutors, so they need to show you what card they're good hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or, you know, you could run like a Capsize or something like that.
Anything just to, like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you ever need like the Aven Mind Sensor or something, you can just grab it, put it in your hand, stuff like that. And, you know, it's a lot more flexible than probably the Soldier, but the other one's a Soldier. I don't know. The Pro Red just seems kind of tacked on there. I'm not sure that was necessary.
No, I like it. I mean, It's not a big deal, but protection from red's probably one of the best.
Yeah, but what about
protections to have?
That means that if Aggro's Cost were to take a swing at her, that means Lavinia would win.
Well, I think against Aggro's Cost, I think the Detain is going to really fuck up. You know, like his whole army's like getting arrested and shit.
Yeah, they just like sprinkle some crack on him and take him away.
But the protection for red's cool because red sweepers deal damage, so it's probably like the only protection that actually stops sweeper effects.
It's like basically Wildfire, I don't care.
Yeah, even Blasphemous Act, she's like, whatever, fuck.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Next.
So. It actually kind of works for her, seeing as how she's like a law mage anyway. Because, you know, she protection from red from a flavor standpoint is kind of like I'm too deep into my law to be affected by your chaos.
I don't know. I'd want Azorius to be the lawful neutral guild then.
I don't think they really pull that off. I think the Boros is more like lawful neutral.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Yeah. But I think what was I gonna say? So yeah, when it comes to Lavinia, like I would run a few like blink effects just to like keep her going if you need be, but like being oppressive just doesn't seem very fun when you can. She's pretty aggressive as a creature. She has protection from red, so like, you know, rug decks, which are pretty popular right now, won't be able to block her for the most part. You know, there's going to be hard time blocking her, and I think you can have, you think it's time for like a good like army type token deck from blue white. It just doesn't really apply or happen very often. Yeah. So.
And in blue white, if you were to try and be aggressive, the decks that would give you the most problems would probably be token decks. right. as far as the ones that would be actually putting creatures on the ground, and then Lavinia will let your guys get through.
Right, yeah, you don't have a lot of, like, trample or, like, big dudes to like, just smash stuff, you know, and all your removal is bounce tech or, like, pinpoint ass, you know, shit, so... Yeah. I guess there's wraths and stuff, but that screws you over too. So
yeah. So who would you guys? Oh, what do you got, Calvin? What do you got?
I was just saying, like with Lavinia at her mana cost, if you were going with the whole blinker constantly thing, you just kind of put it in there with Venser.
Yeah, I mean you can have Venser and you can have like a few things, but if you Deadeye Navigator is where I really draw the line. That's like kind of like I'm tired of that card anyways, and it's so obvious with her. So just don't do it, people. Just don't do Deadeye Navigator anymore.
All
right. So who would you guys rather run?
If I was going to pick one over the other, I personally really like Lavinia, mainly because, like, you know, I kind of like the concept of her being like a human and a soldier. And the detain effect I kind of enjoy because it's more like of a, if you're not abusing it, it can be actually pretty interesting. But, you know, you can always find ways to kind of just, like, control the boards. With Vesperia, the whole flying thing isn't that, is okay, but... Kind of like I said, like, I've seen Carblade too, so. If I was going to pick one, I'd probably go with the new girl, with Lavinia. And the artwork is sick, so.
Yeah, it is. That's my favorite part, is she just looks like she's pissed off. Like, she's, like, reading the bill or something, like, what the hell?
I would probably roll with the new one, too, just because then I could run Metathran Elite and can have a flavorful soldier deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would build with Lavinia, too, for a lot of other reasons, or a lot of the reasons we already mentioned, rather. And I really just, I want to make a blue-white, like, I have a Darien deck, and it's kind of boring, so I want to turn it into Lavinia. So, like, you know, it's basically just going to be human soldiers all over again. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm interested in her. Also, a real quick anecdote, I got Martial Law out, which is the enchantment that detains a creature every upkeep, you know? Mm-hmm. I kept using it out. Yeah, it's awesome. So my brother plays this Bulbarigmos deck, and there's not a lot of other creatures, so Bulbarigmos kept getting detained every turn. So he just chuck lands in, like, the brief second where he's not detained. So this game took forever because Bulbarigmos couldn't attack, but he was still, like, lobbing fucking trees through bars and shit. So we all go with Lavinia the 10th. I wasn't really surprised with that. I think she's really, really interesting.
Well, Asperia has the problem of the original Ravnica champions where it's like so much work and text.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep while reading you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but what she actually does isn't that bad.
It's not bad. It's just like you have to set it up or you have to think.
Yeah.
Like, Lavinia doesn't have as much thinking involved.
Yeah, that's four or less. Okay, you can't use it.
Yep.
That was easy.
All right, Cassidy, why don't you bring us another one?
Okay, so let's see. Who's the one to bring? I didn't really stop to think about which one.
Yeah. Well, we have Simic left.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. This is the guy I like. Okay, I'm going to go with the Golgari champion, Verrall's the Scarstriped. He is one colorless black green troll warrior who is 2/2, a legendary, obviously. And then each creature in your graveyard has scavenge, and then that scavenge cost is equal to the mana cost. So that's just really, really, really cool, in my opinion. He also has the ability to sacrifice another creature to regenerate him, which makes him an infinite sac outlet. I mean, regenerating him over a million times doesn't really do anything technically, but, you know, if you need to dump a lot of creatures, if you have, like, combo decks or something, that's perfect. Now, the champion from from Golgari, it was... We had trouble figuring out who was the champ last time.
I think
who
it's Savra.
Savra? Okay.
Yeah, because it was... I think the sisters were the original, and then the sisters got killed, and Savra became the...
Okay.
But we talked about Savra a lot already.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't have too much to say about Savra. I actually think she's pretty boring because she doesn't do anything by herself. Real quick, she's 2 black-green, 2/2 a legendary elf shaman, and the elf part might be the most important part about her, I'd say. And whenever you sacrifice a black creature, you may pay 2 life. If you do, each other creature player sacrifices a creature. That's pretty boring. Great Pact is pretty played out, in my opinion. And then whenever you sacrifice a green creature, you may gain 2 life, which is kind of incidental. So, basically, with Savra, we've all seen Savra decks. Andy had his Savra deck. Everyone's seen it before. And really, there's just better green-black elves I'd rather play with. Like, Lissa is so much better that I would never play Savra as a general. she might be cool in a deck. I mean, she's good in decks where, like, a gob deck, if you want to, like, really fuck over people. But now, when it comes to Varels, I think Varels is really cool because he's another green-black, like, aggro general. And, you know, a lot of people like Skullbriar, even though I don't. And they have basically their justification is always that, like, well, he's the best aggro green-black general. Like, yeah, I can't really argue with that. But I think Varels might actually be... He competes with Skullbriar anyways. Wow. He doesn't have quite the same weaknesses, too, so...
Varels lets you scavenge Skullbriar.
Yeah.
And the fact that all of Skullbriar's counters count, and then, you know, you scavenge him, put him in the command zone, still has all the counters, and then you can throw, you know, if you have, like, four counters on Skullbriar, you get to put five counters on something for black-green.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so... I mean, that would be Skullbriar as a general, and then Varels as a
I guess deck. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
We could still grab... We could get Skullbriar out of exile, probably. As long as that's your only exiled thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Blair Witch Green was talking about that, about how Skullbriar and Varels are great friends because the counters stay, and they count towards scavenge.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't even really think of that. I don't really like... I've never liked Skullbriar. I think he's just got a grilling weakness.
That's because your brothers run Black Sun Zenith in every black deck.
Yeah, exactly. I run Black Sun Zenith in all my decks because it's pretty much the cheapest, best removal.
Yeah,
you know, sweeper that black has.
When Skullbriar's carrying those -1/-1 counters around.
Yeah, yeah. I remember whenever I complain about it, people are like, well, if you're good, that won't happen. It's like, you're such a fucking idiot for saying that.
Shut your damn mouth. Yeah. What am I going to do? Counter with my freaking...
Temporal, or no, what is it? Dash Hopes.
Yeah.
Or Imp's Mischief, something? I don't know. Jesus.
As I'm looking at the two of them, I can't really seem to think of any reason I would actually pick, Savra over. Bauru?
Varels.
Yeah. Varels.
Well, I don't see any reason why I would pick the elf over the troll. Because, like, just from, like, a physical standpoint, they're already 2/2s for low mana, and he's already less. If you just needed a sac outlet, he already does the sacrificing, where she kind of requires you to have something else to sacrifice. I mean, he just kind of, like, feeds himself without having to really worry about it. Him, you just need another creature. With her, you need, like, another creature and something to get rid of the creature with.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he just seems better in every possible way, and the scavenge is just, like, icing on the cake. So, I got a different question, then. What do you guys think about Varels compared to Jared, the Lich Lord, Golgari Lich Lord, the leader of the set? Because that's actually, I think, a more interesting comparison, anyways.
I like Varels because he's less douchey.
Yeah.
If I had to pick between the two of them and had to go with him or Gerard, I'd have to actually think about that one for a second. Because Gerard does kind of have, like, that sweet, like, always being able to return himself if he goes to the graveyard. So, like, once his mana gets too high, you can always just bring him back.
Mm-hmm. They kind of work against each other, though. Sorry. They kind of work against each other. That's, like, kind of the biggest thing, like, right? Because Jared wants creatures in graveyard, and Varels is like, I'm going to take a shit on him. Eat some spinach or something.
But the thing is, if you had them both out, then Varel would allow the creatures that you scavenge to just throw their counters on Gerard, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he wouldn't be able to get the abilities if he died and came back. But Gerard actually would be a nice way to kind of throw stuff into the graveyard with his sac outlet. And then Varel would be able to be and kind of, like, put more counters on Gerard for that. Instead of getting, like, +1 for each creature in your graveyard, he could be getting, like, +4, plus whatever. Well, +4, +4 for, like, a 4/4 creature that got just removed or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good point, because both of them look at, like, the top or the power of a creature for their abilities. Like, Gerard, like, deals damage equal to power, and then, you know, the scavenge is
equal to the power too. So like having top heavy creatures, powerful creatures like a Groundbreaker or something, like, will basically be really good for both of them. So that's kind of a cool idea. I kind of like how the green black legends are all kind of working together either way. You know, reminded me of the Boros legends where it's like, it doesn't matter who you pick, you're going to put them all in your deck anyways, you know. So
yeah, and the commanders are going to end up being whatchamacallit. It's still going to end up being a stupid zombie plant thing. Because that way everybody can like feed on destroying him and sending him back and forth between a command zone and whatever.
It's like, haha, joke's on you. I don't even like him.
you thought you were the leader. No, you're just food for everything else in this deck.
That's actually really funny. I think I might actually have to make that deck. That sounds pretty fun. So, I think it's pretty unanimous. Fuck Savra. Let's just move on.
Okay, so what's next? Who's left? Okay, so we've gotten rid of the and Tajak and Tessa. So
we have Demir.
We've got Demir. We've got Malik.
Yeah.
And Rakdos.
Oh, wait. We talked about Rakdos already.
Yeah, we talked about Rakdos already.
We're like, oh, she's kind of sucky.
I think I'll save Selesnya for last because I'm sure nobody else is going to grab it anyway.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm going to run Izzet. Okay. So let's see. Who's our new dude? All right. We've got Mellet Izzet Paragon, 4 blue red for a 2/4 weird wizard.
I love that.
Play with the top card of your library revealed. You may cast the top card of your library if it's an instant or sorcery card. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your library, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. It's very important to realize it says only from your stupid library does this happen. So you don't get to go buck frickin' wild, you know, doing whatever with them. But unfortunately, his competition isn't much to look at because it's friggin' Tabor and Lumia.
Oh my god.
Two blue red, so they cost less. For a human wizard, 3/3, so it's the same power toughness balance, but they're not weird. Shouldn't it say human wizards?
Yeah.
Whenever you cast a blue spell, target creature gains flying until end of turn. Whenever you cast a red spell, Tabor and Lumia deal 1 damage to each creature without flying. Great. Basically, every Tabor and Lumia deck I've ever seen involves putting Basilisk Collar on them, casting a blue spell, then casting a red spell.
Yeah. Or like something like Charisma, where he kills it, like steals everyone. Or what's the other one? Where Cowardice, I think, where you target, whenever a creature gets targeted, it bounces back to hand. So, yeah.
Pretty much the three things.
Yeah, that's like the deck right there.
That being said, Malek isn't really super great either, but you do have, like, top, and you've got Brainstorm. You know, you can usually manipulate things to the point where you can have an instant or sorcery on top, but what are you copying that's a single target red or blue instant that is really going to do something besides draw you cards or bolt a dude, or am I missing something?
No, it doesn't have to be a single target at all.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's true. But, I don't know, it just, like, if it was black-white, I'd be all about this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about Melek is that I think when you look at all the other Izzet Generals, this is maybe the first one where it seems kind of fair.
Yeah, well, you know, like, Tabor and Lumia is pretty fair.
Well, Tabor and Lumia is blows, you know. Joria was a bitch.
Yeah.
Both the dragons are annoying for their own reasons, you know. So it's like, there's Nin and Melek, and Nin is fun, and she's cool, and she's probably the coolest. But at the same time, her ability is just mind-boggling how bad it is when you really need to use it, you know. So, I mean, I just like the fact that this is, like, he's built around me, sort of.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't have any combos per se. He's just going to abuse good cards, which happens anyways. So, I mean, I like him. And he's 6 to cast for a 2/4, which, like, seems bad. But at the same time, his ability would be so annoying if he could play turn 4 and then Time Warp right away or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot of those. The red gain to turn spells, those all kill you at the end of that turn, right?
Well, except for the blue red one where you flip a coin to get an extra turn.
But if you copied the red ones, it's not going to do you any good.
No, you'd have to, unless you're using like Sundial to like stop the
freaking turn.
Yeah, but I mean, you,
I mean, I that being said, like, I mean, it's not like casting two ponders or something is bad.
Yeah,
even if you're doing midland shit like that.
I mean, the red spells, I think you would probably end up just using with this guy would probably be various forms of like the destructive force and like wildfire.
No.
Where you would cast them just so you can get extra damage out of them. So instead of doing like 4 damage to everything, it's 8.
Warp world.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, yeah. Like you could warp world and make a copy of it.
I like him with like Banefire and stuff like that too. Yeah. You know, just burn out the table. Comet Storm. Like cast it for a bunch, kick it a bunch of times, and then copy it. That's fucking awesome. So, I mean... I think the other reason that I like Melek a lot, too, is out of all the generals, he's going to be the one that's going to be showing up in three-color decks. Like, he's awesome in Maelstrom Wanderer or, you know, Rug decks. You know, any blue-red X deck is going to love this guy. America, not so much, but that's because America doesn't know what the fuck it wants anymore. It needs a general to actually, like, tell it what it is.
Yeah, you know? It's sort of out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing I like about Melek a lot. I think he's good as a support role because he's 6 to cast, and he's at that point, you know, you could gamble for him or whatever. So I like Melek a lot in that way. And then we haven't talked about Tibor and Lumia too much, and that's because they're really lame.
Yeah,
they're really, really lame.
Unbelievably lame. Aren't they married, too? I think that makes them triple lame.
I have no idea. But, yeah, Cass, like you were saying, like with Melek, he would actually go on, like, a good rug deck because this effect he has is usually something you see in, like, blue and green, which kind of, like, throws me a little. And that's the reason why when I first saw him, I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty weird because this is usually not something red and blue does. But then again, what does red and blue ever actually really do?
Well, red likes to copy shit these days when it comes to instance for sorceries and... Blue likes Time Spiral. I mean, not Time Spiral, Future Sight.
Yeah,
but like the whole, like, look at the top card of your library and have it rebuild and being able to cast cards on top of your library has always been kind of a green reddish thing. Green lets you do it for creatures with,
Derek's Horde. And Oracle of Moldiah does it for lands. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I got distracted for a second. I heard someone yelling at the dog. Oh. But Oracle of Moldiah does it. Green has it for creatures with Garrick's Horde. Blue usually has Future Sight. So just seeing it in like red and blue just seems kind of like weird. But then in the same token, it's instances and sorceries, which is what the two things red and blue kind of really have in common anyway.
Well, he is a weird wizard.
Yeah, he's a weird wizard. But yeah, I could kind of see it. But it's one of the... I don't see him ever actually leading the deck, but actually like just in it.
Yeah, but you could make, like, a solid blue-red deck and then just have him as the general for, you know, copying any of the value spells you have anyway.
That
way you don't have to worry about people busting your balls for playing Niv-Mizzet.
I think you could make a pretty fun Storm deck, too. Just, like, playing a ton of little value cards and Future Sight, basically, on them all to play. I think it could be a pretty fun deck. You know, you can scroll rack really easily. We mentioned Brainstorm, you know. This is a good deck for, you know, the Mind Sculptor, which doesn't seem like a good point.
Yeah,
but
let me go right out now and buy Jace the Mind Sculptor for my Melek deck.
Yeah. It's all the rage, kids. That's why he's $100 right there. Oh, shit.
All right. Well, this was another unexciting one.
I forgot that Tibor and Lumineo was the last champion because that.
Yeah, I couldn't even figure out who they were. I was actually going to look it up.
I'm glad you didn't have to.
I was like,
just nice that they've been printing so many blue-red generals lately, so that it wasn't just like Niv-Mizzet or Tibor and Lumia.
Yeah, basically.
All right. Calvin, who you got? You got Simic, Dimir, or Selesnya? And I'm taking Selesnya, I swear.
Yeah, you can keep Selesnya.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody'd want it.
So I got between Simic or Dimir. Okay, well, if we're going to start this off, let's... Let's just go with Dimir.
Oh, and that's a curveball there.
Yeah, I thought you would do a Kraj.
Huh?
I thought you would do the experiment Kraj for sure.
Yeah, I would, but I'd rather just, like, hold on to that, because I really... Like, remember, like, last week when I was talking about just, like, three legends from this particular group of six that I don't like? Mm-hmm. Like, well, one of them, Chris has already claimed one. The other one is the blue-green one.
Yeah.
And it's like and when it comes to the milling part, I have no problem there. And I'm like, ugh, just be like,
all right. Dimir, then you got.
Let's just do Dimir.
Mirko Vosk, Mind Drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mirko Vosk, Mind Drinker. Three colorless, blue and a black. He's a 2/4 vampire with flying. And whenever Mirko Vosk, the Mind Drinker, deals combat damage to a player, that player reveals card from the top of his library, or his or her library, until he or she reveals four lands. Then puts those cards into his or her graveyard. A quick side note, I personally am really not understanding the whole his or hers, he or she. I mean, I granted, I understand, like, they're trying to do what they can to be more, like, you know, open to males and female players, but still, I'm pretty sure no one's going to be like, oh, nope, you hit me with the boss, but I'm a female, so it doesn't work.
Especially since they never give gender pronouns to any of the cards. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like Lavinia, if Lavinia comes into play, it does this. You know what I mean? So,
I think I remember, weird. Like, back in Urza Block, they put a little spiel in the little booklet that came with the precons.
Yeah.
About how, yeah, we got to do it this way, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, it's
all right.
And who was the...
It's Sirku.
That was the
lobotomist.
Executioner, something like that.
Dimir Lobotomist.
Dimir Lobotomist. Hold on. Let me find this guy. Dimir.
Yeah. Oh, hey, real quick. Christian, do you know if there's any easy way to deck build with MTGO?
No.
Because, you know, now that Cockatrice isn't going to get updated, I really have no good way to build these lists at all. It's kind of pissing me off.
Well, you can...
use Workstation.
Well, yeah, but that's like got a 40-day thing, and then you got to pay for it. And I'm going to use it for, like, you know, months and months. So
when you're building a deck, you know how you can set filters and everything in Magic Online. There's a checkbox for show cards I own. So if you uncheck that, it'll show all the cards you don't have,
right.
And you can still build the decks.
Sorry, go ahead.
It'll just show up in red.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I've seen that. Is there any way to, like, copy and paste lists, like? Load up a list from, like, a text file? Cause...
Theoretically, yes, but I've never gotten it to work.
Okay, so, yep, that sounds about right.
But you can, like, you can save a deck as a text file, too, and then import it later, theoretically. That's worked a little better.
I'll have to try that out, then. Okay. Sorry, Calvin, go ahead.
Hey, and I finally got the guy now. Sirkos, Dimir Lobotomist. Two colors, he's a blue and black, so that's Converted Banner 4. Legendary creature, human wizard. And it's a 2/3. Whenever you cast a blue spell, exile the top card of target library. And whenever you cast a black spell, exile the top card of target library. Your opponents cannot cast land cards with the same name as cards exiled with Dimir Lobotomist. Sirkos, Dimir Lobotomist. I can't even think of it. I think Dimir is like Russians.
Yeah.
A lot of these names have like this weird, like, kind of like tongue rolling bill.
Just think of the word Dimitri, like their names, you know. Dimir is like right off of their it's totally the Russians, because they did that to all the guilds, you know, gave them some America or some worldly flavor type deal. Mm-hmm.
Let's see here, so
which one sucks less?
Well, as far as the lobotomist goes, if you happen to hit a card from your opponent's library that also happens to be a card that's in a different opponent's library, like, if you happen to hit a soul ring off of, like, Chris's library, Cassidy would not be able to actually cast soul ring. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you mean when you hit Sisse's ring off my library?
Christian's Sisse's ring, and me and Cassidy won't be able to cast it from our decks because it's not in them.
Oh my god.
You get the same amount of mana for merely four times the cost.
But at least with... What's the other guy? Vosk?
Miracle Vosk.
When Vosk actually deals damage, instead of exiling, it just kind of goes to the graveyard, right? Until they hit like four lands?
Yeah, it just kills it.
So with Vosk, once he's doing his effect, he might be able to mill your opponents out, depending on the way their land structure goes. But in the same token, they could be like playing something like an Imrakul or whatever and just kind of get it all back. Whereas with the Lobotomist, like, you know, if you happen to cast something that's blue and black and Imrakul's on the top, it's gone. Like, permanently. So as long as you can figure out a way to repeatedly cast, like, some type of storm cards or find some way to keep playing something blue and black with buyback or whatever, you could potentially just remove your opponent's entire deck.
Storm wouldn't activate it, though, because that doesn't count as casting when you make a bunch of copies.
No, it doesn't? No.
Yeah, the idea was there.
Infinite mana
creature would... No, card would buy back.
Yeah.
Not capsize, because then you just have to start returning your own shit.
Yeah, start returning your own shit. Yeah.
But I like the fact that Mirko Vosk does damage and mills as opposed to just milling. Like, this deals no combat damage and then mill the next until you hit four lands.
Yeah.
I guess conceivably, if you were to throw, like, a Fire Shrieker or something on him, and if you're hitting him at eight lands a clip... That's still like, conceivably, if they're running 40 lands, it's still like a 4 or 5 turn clock for just one guy, if they don't have Gaia's Blessing effects in there.
Yeah, if they don't have a Eldrazi Titan in there.
Or if they're a dipshit and they're running Elixir of Immortality.
Actually, even if they are running like the things like the Elixir of Immortalities or the Eldrazi or whatever, he still deals general damage.
Yeah.
So if you were to pump him up, he could still technically kill that opponent. I mean, granted, it'd take a while with him being a 2/4 flyer.
Yeah. Slightly. The huge pumping abilities of blue and black.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but you just, like, toss, like, some artifacts in there. You're in black, so you could always give them, like, poison.
Unholy Strength. Feast of the Unicorn.
No. Yeah, because you always give them, like, poison effects and stuff like that, and, like, you know, go for, like, a Tainted Strike or something.
Or a Feast of the Unicorn.
Nobody wants to feast on your unicorn horn, dude. It's gross.
Feast of the Unicorn's pretty good. I have to say that. I think the difference between the two is really Surku is more of a combo piece to me. Like, he's going to be the same deck that's going to be like Helm of Obedience and Leyline of the Void. You know, just like mill combos that like really are. They're only combo decks. They're not really mill decks because it doesn't really interact and meaningfully with mill. Whereas like Mirko Vosk is more of like a mill general that's actually powerful enough to get the job done, sort of. You know, like Jester's Cap away some lands and like all the guy's blessing, and like he could actually be a big problem. I think the big issue though is that first off, Mirko Vosk has the dumbest picture. I am it's so lame, and there's so much red in it that you're just like, how is this a blue black? There's no blue at all in the entire picture.
He's not wearing a shirt.
No, and shirtless vampires. Like, at first it was funny, but now it's just like, really? Do I have to look at this again?
Mirko Vosk.
Yeah. Because all Russian dudes walk around with their shirts on.
I don't think Surku really has a shirt on either.
Nah. I don't think he's got, like, a little bit of, like, a chest vest, but yeah. That's about it.
Do they just not have shirts in Dimir? Is that what it really comes down to?
Guess not. It makes them better sneakers or something.
Like, you know, there's nothing helps you blend in better than having an open chest.
I think the big thing that bothers me about Mirko Vosk is that a lot of decks want to be milled for a million. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you mill my Carador deck for like 30 cards, you just lost basically.
It's like,
so
fucking thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks a lot. Oh yeah, look, there's the Eternal Witness I need. There's the fucking Living Death I need. This is gonna be, you're just lost. That was fun, you know. So, I mean, there's always a big problem when it comes to mill. But I mean, if you want a mill, this might be the first general that's actually gonna make it possible. Because really, you want to compare this guy to the other dipshit, the guild leader from last one. I can't even remember that stupid fuck's name, the 7 to cast guy. I mean, they basically do the same thing, except for this guy's this guy comes down at a reasonable time to make it like a better deck. So,
yeah, I really wish you could direct his mill ability towards yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah, if you could do that, that would make an awesome blue-black deck.
It's like Hermit Druid.
Yeah. Well, you have Mirror Mad Phantasm, so.
Yeah, Mirror Mad Phantasm is pretty sweet.
But Voss might actually also be pretty good to use against like decks that have like a lot of ramp. Because, yeah, you know, they'll be pulling their lands out of their library anywhere and slapping them down on the table. So that green deck that's got like 15, 20 lands on the table by turn 7.
Yeah.
Voss can hit them, and chances are there's not really much left in the deck for them to actually pull out. So,
Miracle Vosk.
Especially if they cast like Boundless Realms first, and they're like, check out all my lands, and you're like, fuck your face, dude. I'm going to rape you with my flying dumbass vampire.
Yeah. So, I think both of these guys are pretty boring, though. I don't really want to run either of them.
I'd probably run Miracle Vosk just because, yeah, I've always been trying to do a mill deck, and I think like it might be kind of fun to actually pull, yeah, off. So,
is blue black just like an ass color combination for the most part? When it comes to legends,
yeah, pretty much. I mean, you don't have Widwin is pretty much the only one that I really really like, yeah, and I guess you could probably make a pretty good flashback deck with that one guy, the Lich. I forget his drow name.
People like Una a lot around here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess Una's pretty cool too. She's so much to cast for me. Like, yeah.
So I guess I picked the Miracle Vosk too, just because Sirku's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Miracle Vosk has a better name. That's literally the only thing I'm picking him on.
Mind Drinker does sound pretty gross, though. Yeah. Yeah,
so. This reminds me of that Star Trek The Next Generation episode where Data's having dreams and Riker just has a straw in his head.
Yeah.
If I was going to pick one of the two, I'd probably have to go with the Lobotomist myself, though. Not because of anything particular other than the fact that when his effect actually exiles the cards. Mm-hmm. So it's more of the, like, if I was going to be the kind of person that I'm trying to get rid of people's graveyards, I want it to be like a permanent thing. And granted, yes, he's basically the Helm of Obedience, Dark, the Leyline of the Void combo, but, you know, if I'm trying to remove your deck, that's going to be something I'd have in there as well. So, mm-hmm, I'd probably end up just going with the Lobotomist anyway.
Fair enough. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Either way.
All right. You want to grab Simic here, Cassidy?
Sure. Okay. Real quick. So Experiment Kraj is the champion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's not Momir Vig, thank God.
Yeah, I seem to remember us bitching about that dude last time. Okay. So for Simic, we have Mr. Vorel of the Whole Clad, which... okay, so he's 3 to cast, 1 green, blue, so... He thinks he's Edric, but he's just not. Legendary creature, human merfolk, which is just about the most awkward, weird thing ever. Like, that's just gross.
I hope the merfolk half is the bottom.
Well, he got legs.
No, well, maybe he just has a fish dick.
Yeah, he's got some, like, fucking gills. Whatever.
Hey, Connie, do you like fish dicks?
It's really dumb. So he's 1/4, which... that's okay for 3. I can't really complain too much. And now his ability is pay blue and green, and then tap. And for each counter on target artifact, creature, or land, put another of those counters on that permanent. So, like, right off the bat, I don't think he's really designed to be a general in any sense. Simic has a lot of really good generals, so I can't really fault the Wizards or whatever, you know, for making a guy that's just going to be supportive. I mean, he's going to be really good in Zagana decks. He's going to be really good in whatever.
Going to be good at putting those fucking counters on Dark Depths.
Yeah, keep that shit off. Unfortunately, it's not going to do anything against Vampire Hexmage, so I really don't foresee that as being a big thing. So, real quick, let's do the other champion, and that is Experiment Kraj from...
that one.
Ascension, I think, or yeah. Guild Pack, whatever. I didn't even need to say that. I don't know why. He's 2 green, 2 blue, and then 2 colorless, so 6 to cast. Legendary creature, Ooze Mutant, which is awesome. He's 4/6, so 6/4/4/6 is really not too bad. And then Experiment Kraj has all activated abilities of each other creature with a +1/+1 counter on it. Awesome. Tap, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. So, I mean, we've all known Kraj for a while. Calvin's written decks about him. I played against him a lot. He's a combo deck, and he's really good at doing that. Basically, basically, when it comes down to it, Vorel is horrible. So, I mean, Experiment Kraj wins, hands down. Vorel could be in a Kraj deck. That's just fine. But besides that, Vorel sucks, and I understand why Calvin didn't want to talk about it.
I wouldn't even put Vorel in a Kraj deck. Vorel in a Kraj deck would be kind of pointless, because the concept of him putting a plus, him, like, it's really, Kraj wants creatures have plus ones counters on. Vorel just puts extra plus one counters on stuff that's already got counters on it. Kraj doesn't really need this ability.
Yeah, fair enough.
Unless you're
he's good in Zagana, and
it's only like the only thing that it could actually work is like if there was an artifact or a land that had a fucking counter on it that you gave a shit about, then you might care about putting it in there. But if you're putting it in a Kraj deck, that artifact or land should be able to turn into a creature, upon which time it needs only one counter. You don't need Varat to double those up, so fuck that guy.
Yeah, he can't target Planeswalkers, and that's pretty much the biggest reason why he's a waste of time, honestly.
Well, the thing is, I can understand if he didn't target Planeswalkers.
Oh,
I understand
real.
If he... But it's like it's just the fact that he doesn't hit anything. Like, he hits creatures, he hits artifacts, he hits lands. What happens to enchantments? Why can't you touch enchantments?
Oh, you're just mad that you can't double up on Five Alarm Fire.
Well, he's green and blue. He wouldn't be able to double up on Five Alarm Fire.
Yeah,
anyway,
but I mean, you're not running him as a general. You're going to run him as a piece in your
rug.
But
I don't need him for that. If I was running Five Alarm Fire in the rug, I'd just put Doubling Season and just call it a day.
I like Pharrell.
No,
of course I fucking do. He just does dumb shit.
Yeah.
And like, dude, think I could have a tumble magnet with six things on it. I could have a tangle wire with like a billion things on it. Smokestacks, let's just ramp that shit up.
Yeah, that seems like a really good use of Varela's smokestacks.
It's not.
No, it's horrible.
But I'm going to put like a marker here right now in this episode that Varel is one of those cards where we're going to sit here goof on it all day long every day at this point, but somewhere down the line, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know, 4 years from now, Wizards is going to print something and we're going to be like, oh my god, this guy is sick. He's going to end up being the next Dark Depths.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's happened to Doubling Season already. I think he's actually pretty good just because Simic has so many plus one counter abilities that are cool. Like, there's a few cards where it's like, remove all plus one counters to draw cards equal to that. And, like, that's just fucking sick with this guy. I mean, like, that's actually good. So he's bad because he's dumb. But at the same time, like, there's a lot of stuff that he can interact with, which is good. So, like, I see what you're saying, Calvin. Like, it really is just a matter of time where they make the perfect card for him. And, like, that's why I said he's a bad general. Like, I never use him as a general. But put him in Zagana. You might even want to put him in an Adra.
He's got
a pretty big butt so he can block so the other creatures can attack.
Yeah, he's a bad general. And because it's the part where he puts the counters on, those the counters on a land that I'm looking at. There's eventually going to come a land that's going to come around, and green is going to be able to search it out, slap it down. You're going to use that land to get him out, and then it's going to just be like game over, turn four and five.
Yeah, I get four counters on a vivid land.
Yeah, or, man, gemstone mine. Keep that shit around forever.
I don't know. Like, I just want to do asinine counter things with him all day. So I'm going to pick a Vorel, and I know you guys are going to probably pick Kraj. You guys are wrong.
I mean,
I love my purple jello monster, so screw you.
And he's a mutant. That's awesome. Mutants are, like, that's the coolest tribal possible.
I'm guessing it means there's an inferred on the battlefield here, right? Like, if for some reason Skullbriar was in somebody's graveyard, you couldn't just double the counters on him?
No, because they're not technically creatures in the graveyard.
That's true.
They're spells.
They're stupid shit.
Yeah,
when they're in the graveyard, they're not permanents.
Yeah. So, I don't think you can target. I mean, you can't lightning bolt something that's dead. And you can't swords it. You know what I mean? So,
The thing is, it's that it says on there, put counters on that permanent.
Oh yeah, you're right.
When it's in the graveyard, it's not a permanent.
Yeah,
it's a spell. But it's in your grave, in my hand, it's not a permanent.
Just double right. up on wishes, have six wishes from your general wishes, bam.
See, if it didn't have the permanence, like you could just target something that had counters on it and it put extra counters on it, it might be interesting.
He could put more scream counters on All Hallows Eve.
Or you could just fucking kill a player with some infect tokens, you know?
Nope. We ain't doing that. All right. Now, so you guys take Karaj, right? I'm going to assume.
Yeah, I'm going with my purple Jello, J-E-L-O go.
Yeah, and he's tried and true, you know.
Yeah. All right, so it's I saved the best for last.
This bullshit.
Everyone got so mad because people are jerks. And actually, the storyline nerds got mad, and then the Wizards needs to only make good cards for us nerds got mad. It was ridiculous, but we're going to do Selesnya. And my favorite champion out of the whole set, Amara Tandris.
Such a fucker.
5 green white for a 5/7. Elf Shaman.
Fat ass elf.
Prevent all damage that would be dealt to creature tokens you control.
How do elves get that fucking fat in the beginning anyway?
7 mana. Alright, and she's going up against the much less impressive Tulsimir Wolfblood.
Tulsimir's awesome.
Okay, 4 green white, so you know he's only 1 mana less. For a 3/4, he's got way less power and toughness. Other green creatures you control get +1/+1, whoop-de-dam-do. Other white creatures you control get +1/+1, double whoop-de-dam-do. And you can tap them to put a legendary 2/2 green and white wolf creature token named Assfucker onto the battlefield. Which, of course, makes him a 4/4 wolf once he comes in because of his stupid anthem abilities. I think he has sex with the wolf, too.
Well, he rides it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh! So, if you check some R&D or if you check one of Mero's articles, MRO was actually supposed to be a different card and they had to swap her right at the end. Yeah. So she wasn't going to be this monstrosity that she is.
Yeah, she was going to be the really good Selesnya card.
Yeah,
right?
She's going to be the really, really good Selesnya card.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get her on the under the vat, just have an invincible 5/7 coming at everybody.
Oh my god. That's so dumb.
Because then, you know, she's preventing damage to herself.
Ugh.
Or, you know, you get some ways to copy her as a token after you have the card that gets rid of the legend rule. And they're invincible.
Isn't that a blue card, though? Seemed to be playing Bant.
I don't know. I thought it was an artifact.
Oh, it's maybe like blue-black.
It is not blue-black.
No, it's like blue-green, I mean.
It is also not that.
Fuck this bitch.
It's a stupid Kamigawa artifact that gets rid of the legend rule.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
It's like a damn mirror. Like
the No, not the shell. Not the turtle shell. It's a mirror.
Mirror gallery. And it's a fucking artifact, you assholes. There.
Oh, sorry. Whatever. I think there's a blue card that does the same thing, though.
I'm actually going to make an Amara deck, but I'm not going to put a single token generator in it.
That sounds about right.
I'm just going to put in Teague. I'm going to put an Aven Mind Sensor. I'm going to put all the douche cards. And I'm just going to put an Armadillo Cloak on the Amara. And then the new Armadillo Cloak, I'm going to put that on Amara, too, and I'm just going to kill people.
That seems about right. That should take a while.
Like a total waste of time.
Yeah, after I cast her. Man, why are there so many 7-drop generals? Why are they all so bad except for Karabek?
I like Taysa. She's 7-drop. She's cool.
Yeah. This is hard.
But not so much with Amara Tandris.
So you guys can say your piece even though there's nothing to say. This is going to take like 2 seconds.
Yeah. She's bad.
Tulsimir good. Amara bad.
Yeah, Tulsimir is actually not great either because...
Well, that's because Risk the Redeemed exists.
Yeah, and also it's like, if you're going to make a token, you want to be able to double it with green, and like, if you make 2 copies of Osha, they both die, so like, automatically
you
can't
run the mirror gallery again.
Yeah, that sounds... I think we've already established that that's not a good idea. And the thing about Amara Tandris, though, is like, I mean, I guess technically Evasin's like more money to get, but you could pay 1 more and have a much better creature.
I don't know, man. You cast that Cellar of Songbirds, and then your bird's invincible.
I don't give a fuck.
Prevent all damage to that bird.
But no, they're not invincible.
No, they just don't take damage.
They don't take damage. They can still exile and shot down.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I understand that they had to throw it together at the last minute, but this is just bad. Like, it's like, well, we haven't tested it at all, so let's just make something that couldn't possibly be appealing to anyone.
I just don't, like, I mean, I don't mind bad cards getting printed. I don't understand why people get so up in arms about it.
No, I mean, I don't mind. We got plenty of good generals in the color, so it's no big deal. It's just like, I just don't really understand the card in general. 7 for a 5/7 elf. Like Calvin's saying, like, how is she so big? She looks like a little pussy ass bitch.
You got know? A big what? Ass. Yeah, can't apparently. See the ass.
Yeah, she's like Sheoldred. She's got like a huge fucking badonkadonk behind that you can't see at all.
Yeah, and me personally, okay, speaking on behalf of like the Boros flavor nerds, if you were going to try to do this as like an emergency last second like fix, and you kind of didn't want her to have the abilities she had, you like if this card existed and it was any other creature, you know, you could change it to instead of an elf, just made it an elemental. Legendary elemental creature and gave it a different name. I wouldn't have gave a shit. But the fact that it's this particular character, I fully understand where everyone's coming from.
Well, what's her flavor that's so, like, betrayed?
She fucks Jace, so, you know.
All right. Basically, in, like, the story as a quick rundown, she makes all elemental tokens. In the story, all she does is make elemental tokens.
And bone Jace.
Yeah, she's like really close friends with Jason. She's trying to do what she can to get in his pants, but you know he's too emo to like pull his dick out. But basically, in the story, she makes elemental tokens. It's pretty much like one of the main reasons that she's really cool in the story. But it's one of the main things that she does that kind of makes the Selesnya like leader,
Tristani.
Like, it's one of the main things she does that makes Tristani actually kind of want her around. And she's also very, like, you know, a very big people's person. But because of her ability to make elemental tokens, if you're making a character and you're making a card for the character and it doesn't make elemental tokens, it kind of defeats the purpose of making two books about a character who makes elemental tokens.
Well, God, I mean, well, I mean, it used to. Hmm? Like, the actual card they were going to use did.
Yeah, but in the same token, I understand that. Like, and I have no problem with the fact that they took that ability and put it on something else, and they didn't want to make her the legendary guy for there, and because it would have made her mythic rare, whatever random excuse. But for me, it's like you could have easily just put like a different creature there. Could have switched the artwork or something. I don't know. It just seems like the card that had the mythic art on it. What was it? The weird looking deer elemental thing?
That thing was fucking creepy, I gotta say. Like,
if they'd have put that art on this thing and gave it a different name, I wouldn't have cared. If they'd have made Tamar and like if they would have had Tandra just become a different character, just not even printer. And just had something else do the elemental thing, no one would have cared, no one would have bitched. They'd have kind of complained that she wasn't in the set, but that might have been it.
I don't know. I never want the books to determine how a card's going to be.
Well, yeah. It's not even that. It's just more like if people are talking about how Jace is this big, giant mind sculptor and how he changes people's minds, and you get this like concept of him being like this character who plays with people's brains, you know? Or Sandra, like if you're a Sandra Firebrand and this, you're getting this image in the stories of this character who's a fiery elemental planeswalker who burns stuff. And then when the card shows up, she doesn't do any burn damage. She's like just prevents damage. It just seems kind of like the your card does absolutely nothing like your character.
Hmm. Yeah, I can kind of see that, and especially since she's just so flavorless, like it does seem kind of pointless. Like there's preventing all damage to tokens. Like it's not that it's even bad. It's just like why. Like, what the hell is the point of that whatsoever? They're all tiny. They're all shitty. They usually die from being bounced. You know what I mean? Or, like, getting wrathed. Creature tokens don't die very often. I mean, this survives, makes them survive a Blasphemous Act, but she dies from it. So it's like, they still die anyways, right? Oh, no, I guess they don't. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that, Christian.
All right, so you guys are going to take Tulsimir Wolfblood, and I'm going to take Amara. And it's just going to be the way it is.
That's just it. Just tomorrow sucks.
All right, kids. If you have anything you want to add, just email the show at offflarecast@gmail.com.
Kel's just gonna like mumble about her for one good couple hours.
Alright, let's finish. Hey kids, you survived episode 46 of Buff Gully Cast. You want to get a hold of me, hit me up on Twitter at Christian Renault or email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com and let's let our other boys say goodbye. Cassidy, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us through this. This time we definitely left the worst for last. The last three were just like, they suck. Next, you know, but that's okay. That happens. I really like the set. I'm glad we could talk about it. You can check my articles at tcgplayer.com. And I'm at Right or Wrong on Twitter, and that's about it. Thanks for listening.
All right, and let's have Calvin bring us on home.
Yeah, this episode, the last part wouldn't have been so bad if they actually would just made cards that were pretty decent, as opposed to just putting all damage. But anyway, hey everybody, this is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Resin on the internet. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Resin, or you can email me, CaptainResin@gmail.com. All Color Cast's Facebook page and a Facebook group, you can go there. You can check us at allcolorcast.com. You can go to mtgcast.com. We have shows that gets posted up over there, usually, depending on whenever I remember to actually send it over to Chewy. Let's see. Google Plus is the place where you can find our deck list on Amara. But, you know, that's because no one's going to go there and give a shit about it any fucking way, so who cares? I think that's just about it. Beauty plays and various items of need of whatever is on the site. If there's anything there of interest, I don't think there's anything at all except the show itself anyway. So,
is Beauty still writing stuff? Or?
No, there's no writers, there's no emails, there's no comments. You people are just like, you know, listening and not saying shit. We get it. I mean, granted, I understand, you know, we don't show up that often, but still, you could at least, like, you know, say holla, 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 send something over to a brother.
Or just tell us how bad it is. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah, you can easily, like, you can tell us how bad we suck. I could fully understand it. At least then, you know, we'd have some type of, oh, hey, look, we got a death threat. Sweet.
Yay. Someone cares.
All right, kids. Good night.
Good night.
All right.
I am.